Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. Have called me to this passage, and I follow, though I'm worn.
Amen, amen, amen. We certainly thank the Lord for another day's journey. Truly, the Lord is good. His mercies endure to all generations. We bless him. We bless his holy and righteous name forever. Truly, the Lord is good. And we thank him for all that he's doing for us. Amen, amen, and amen. Another day's journey, certainly glad about it, a victorious journey, a victorious day. So we thank the God for making all things possible. We praise him over and over and over again for all the things that he's doing and the things that he allowed to come to pass. Amen? Yes, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you praise, and we give you the glory. We're still talking about the end time. You know, it's the time that we're living in. This time that we're living in is the end time. Time is wrapping up around us. The signs and the wonders. Signs and wonders. You know, those that are asleep, of course, you know, people could just simply take it easy and not really have a great concern about what's going on. But those that are awake, anxiously anticipating the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you know, watching and waiting, and, you know, of course, looking into the Word for understanding and direction for this time. You know, the Bible tells us to watch and pray always that we be counted worthy to escape. What are we going to escape? The things that are soon come to pass, those things that we're talking about in the end time. You know, of course, you know, the church, God doesn't suffer the church to go through the tribulation. But those people that are left here, those people that are left here on the earth, of course, again, this is a judgment that's poured out on Israel, on the Jews, for refusing to receive the love of the truth that they can be saved, but rather believe a lie. You know, they just simply... When Jesus came, they rejected him. You know, they rejected him. So, just think about it. You know, God paid all, did all, made a way for us, made things plain, simple. All we have to do is accept what the things that he's already done. You know, but for those that are concerned about, you know, some things, people just simply, it's kind of hard to break out of the circle, out of the box. And, you know, sometimes people just get caught up in the routine, the rituals, and the everyday norm, and don't extend themselves beyond to the place where, you know, the place where we actually extend ourselves, you know, being stretched and being moved. I mean, people, the routine, the ritual, the everyday norms. I mean, you know, sometimes you got to go a little bit deeper, go a little bit higher. You know, it just doesn't pay to just take everything, you know, everything by chance. You know, sometimes we got to go a little bit deeper to see some of the hidden things, the secret things. I mean, Jesus came to his own. Keep in mind, you know, he was a Jew. He came to his own and, you know, wanted to be received. But they rejected him. They despised him. You know, they despised Jesus. You know, the stone that the builders disallowed became the chief cornerstone. Of course, what this did was it opened up a door for the Gentiles. You know, opened up a door so that the Gentiles could get in. Of course, we know about the church being birthed on the day of Pentecost. The church is made up of Jews as well as Gentiles. That's what makes up the church. The church is a heavenly calling. You know, the people that are raptured to have a heavenly calling, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You know, the church, you know, not a building per se, but a living organism made up of many members. You know, we miss this thing because we're looking at a physical building. You think, you know, God is not coming back for a church. He's coming back for people, the bride of Christ. And we miss it because we get so mechanical-minded and we're thinking about a building as opposed to thinking about members, you know, physical, you know, people, you know, a royal priesthood, be it as it will. So getting out of the comfort zone, you know, getting away from the norms and the routines, you know, it's just sometimes it takes just a little bit more, you know, just a little bit more, you know, you'd be surprised. Sometimes people give up, you know, too soon without the fight, without the forging, without the extending yourself, being stretched and, you know, sometimes we just got to go just a little bit deeper, just a little bit further, you know, seeking after him, feeling after him. You know, God be not far from either one of us. But, of course, you know, most of the people, the Jews, knew him. You know, they describe him as Joseph's son, the carpenter, you know, the Nazarene. I mean, sometimes we become too common with, you know, too common with certain things. And, you know, we start taking things for granted. We take things, you know, we just simply don't give it the same amount of concerns. So going the extra mile, going the extra distance. We're still talking and teaching on Matthew 24. You know, we are living in the end times, church, people of God. You know, the end times are here. Dangerous times that we're living in. You know, dangerous times, very dangerous. There's nothing stopping Jesus from coming back. You know, there's nothing here that's holding him back other than the fact that God, his Father, hasn't said, go get your bride, you know, go and receive the church. You know, we are living in such crucial time. Again, the signs and the wonders, the things written all over the wall. You know, man has, the nature of man has grown weak. You know, just think about it. There are certain things we didn't used to hear about, but now things are so common. You know, things that was a disguise, was a disgust, was a problem for society, now we accept it as everyday things, everyday norms. Man has just simply drifted away from God, drifted away from his first love, and going after all kinds of things, popularity, financial gain, I mean, going after all kinds of things. And you say, how could this have happened? You know, the watchmen's. You know, the watchmen's were told to take up their watch upon the wall, write the vision, make it plain. You know, write the vision. People without a vision, the Bible tells us that the people are destroyed. People are destroyed without a vision. And right now, people, the everyday person, cannot see clearly. You know, doesn't see things clearly because, like anything else, the things of God are spiritual. And only the Spirit of God can reveal the things of God. And people have gone so far away from God, so therefore we have lost our concern, our love, and our fear, and our compassion for God. Dearly beloved, I believe that we need to come on back. Come on back to our first love. Plant ourselves, you know, be stable and, you know, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor in God is not in vain. You know, God will never forget our labor of love in the Lord. So, I guess there's a call. You know, those that can hear, you know, he's calling us. You know, those that have an ear, he said, let him hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. You know, those that have eyes to see, you know, ears to hear, we've got to, like anything else, set our affections on the things above, on the things of God. Matthew 24, let's go take our text. Matthew 24, we're going to start in verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you for another worship experience. We thank you for your word, God, that's on record to give us the understanding of eternal life. Father, we just bless you for being God. Bless you for another day's journey. We bless you for your mercies, Lord God, for your loving kindness and your compassions that fail not. We bless you, Lord God, for making a way out of no way and for keeping us in spite of everything and all that's going on. God, you have kept us even to this very present time, and we are grateful for that. Kept us from dangerous seen as well as unseen dangers. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your son, Jesus, for all that he has done for us, for what he's done, Lord. We can't repay you. There's no words in our mouth, but thank you. We appreciate you, Lord Jesus, all that you've done and all that you continue to do for us. We bless you, Lord God. Now, Lord, as we come for this worship experience, we ask for forgiveness of sin. Wash us in your blood. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Give us of thy Spirit, Lord God, afresh and anew. Fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Now, God, we call on the greatest teacher, that is, the Holy Spirit. We ask him to lead us, guide us, and teach us. Bring all things back to our remembrance, the things that are necessary. for this worship experience on tonight. Oh, God, we bless you now for all your blessings, all the blessings that you bestowed upon us and our family members. Now we say, have your way, Lord. Have your way in these services. Send your word with power and conviction. We take authority over every hindering spirit. We bind it up. We render it helpless over these servants. We say yes to your will, yes to your way, yes, Lord. Amen and amen. Last week we were talking about the Great Tribulation. We can't even begin to imagine the things that are going to happen on this earth. You know, we look at the effect of tornadoes and hurricanes, and we look at the effects of earthquakes and the like of natural disasters. We can't even begin to fathom with our minds the destruction that will come upon this earth as a result of the vile judgments and the trumpet God's judgments that are going to be poured out on this earth and the things that are going to be released on this earth after the middle of the week. And when God allows the judgments to be, the trumpet judgments and the vile judgments to be rendered upon this earth, we can't even fathom with our mind the destruction, the utter destruction upon this earth. So much so that man runs to the mountain and asks them to hide them from the face of the land. You know, so much so. Can't even imagine. You know, people, you know, we take so much for granted. We don't recognize that, you know, we're not dealing with man. We're dealing with God. And this is still his world. The world, the earth, and, the, you know, all of this. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof. World and they that dwell therein. He has all power, all authority, can do all things. You know. And you say, well, God is too kind to do this. Just keep in mind, the first world was destroyed with water. Just like today's world, people just kind of take brush things off and don't take anything to heart. We just don't give any recognition to any of this. You know, just think about what happened in Noah's flood. We're talking about millions and millions of people that were destroyed in the flood. There was a flood, people of God. And God allowed the flood to destroy everyone here, with the exception of those eight souls that went into the ark, you know, and went into safety. You know, God allowed eight souls to be saved. Everybody else was destroyed in the flood. Old, young, it didn't matter. Man or woman, children, you know, they were destroyed in the flood. Animals were destroyed. Did it rain? Yes, sir, it rained. Yes, ma'am. It rained for 40 days. 40 days. God destroyed this earth with water. And he said, he sent a rainbow in the cloud to, you know, repent to the place where he said that he would never do this again. You know, if God was grieved in his spirit to the fact that it had come to this place. Man had come to this place where, you know, he had to do this. We are again at this place. You know, we are again, we are again approaching this kind of position. You know, rebellion, right? The rebellious nature of man rebelled against God and his authority. Even a fool would say in his heart, there's no God. I mean, how else can we explain? You know, what can we say about these things? I mean, only God can make rain to come from the clouds. I mean, come on. So the word of God is true. It's here. It's on record. God left his word here on record for our understanding, for our admonishment, so that we would know what is the will of God. You know, the word of God is the will of God in Christ Jesus. A sure foundation. The word, is here on record to remind us and to give us understanding so we won't have to walk in darkness, so we won't have to question and be taken out or taken, you know, be overtaken, overwhelmed by a situation. I mean, we are in that time. We're in that time. We are the people that will see it all fulfilled. The sign of his coming and the end of the age. You know, there's nothing that's going to stop that. You know, there's nothing going to stop it. You know, it is what it is, brothers and sisters. It is what it is. Except the time, except those days be shortened. There should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be short. Amen. I want to share something with you, and let's go to Revelation chapter 13. Do a little reading here. First of all, it talks about the Antichrist in the middle of the week, of course, approaching the middle of the week where he's killed, he's shot in the head, and then he recovers. You know, he has a resurrection like Jesus Christ. Of, you know, he does things to, I guess you would say, counterfeit, you know, the things that happened to Christ where he was killed, you know, suffered and died, and 3 days later he arose from the dead, of course. The Antichrist have a similar appearance where he too is shot in the head and then he also recovers. Let's start in Revelation chapter 13, start at verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Let's go down a little bit further. Let's start at verse 12. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wounds were healed. And he does great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from the heavens on the earth in the sight of men, and deceive them that dwell on the earth, by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of all of the beasts, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wounds by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image and the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak, cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Amen. Power was given unto the beast. Like I said, he was shot in the head, the Antichrist. 3 days later, there's a resurrection. Satan gives power to him, where he's able to call down fire from above, call down fire and do all kinds of wonders and miracles and all kinds. You know, what's going on here? You know, the Jews rejected Jesus. You know, they had the ability to accept him. You know, this judgment, again, tribulation, 7 years of tribulation, Jacob's trouble. The whole world experienced the tribulation. But reality is, it is a judgment that's poured out on Israel. the Antichrist, the false prophet. You know, God, it's a situation. You know, God wants them to make it. Above anything, God desired that all make it, that none will be lost. But he turned them over to a strong delusion that they might believe the lie and be damned. You know, they had the opportunity. They had the opportunity to accept Christ and be saved. You know, it starts, you know, all of this starts at the foot of the cross. It all starts with Christ receiving him. We are either for him or we are against him. Amen? You know, it's that simple. We either for him or against him. You know, this judgment, it's really, this tribulation, it's really a judgment that God pours out on the earth, poured out on the Jews because of the things that happened. You know, they refused Jesus as Messiah. They knew that some God was sending the Messiah, but they rejected him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Having to deal with the consequences of their choices. Keep in mind, the church is made up of Jews as well as Gentiles. The church has a what? A heavenly call. Church has a heavenly call. God is coming back for church. Church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Glorious church. Let's shew forth the praises of our God. Now we're talking here about things that happen after the middle of the week. 7 years, 7.5 years is the tribulation. 3.5 years into the tribulation, the treaty is broken, abomination and desolation. And here Jesus talks about great tribulation. After the middle of the week, fifth seal is open, and we see what is called great tribulation. After the great tribulation, Jesus talks here about shortening the days. Let's go back to Matthew 24. For there, verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except for those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be short. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christ, amen, and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it be it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Things that are happening after the middle of the week, the great tribulation, and the Antichrist is killed, and again, 3 days later, he is resurrected. Power is given unto him. Satan gives him power. He's able to call down fire from above. Number one, the resurrection. He being resurrected. You know, all these things, counterfeits, the art of all lies, you know, deceiving and waiting to deceive. You know, even so much so, if God didn't hasten the time, he would deceive the very elect. So, the deception, keep in mind, he calls himself the Messiah. He sits in the temple, you know, and call himself blaspheme the name of God, saying that he is God. Amen. He calls himself God, the Antichrist. You know, keep in mind he's called the false prophet. But all signs, lying wonders, you know, trying to deceive the very elect, you know, trying to deceive the people of God. And of course, devastation after devastation, you know, wars and all of these things going on, all of these things happening after the middle of the week. Church, people of God, we don't have to go through this. God has already made a way of escape, you know. And he's, you know, all we have to do is obey him, obey his word, you know, live safe, try to, you know, get in his presence and live safe, you know, try to live a saved life, you know, forsake our ways, you know, die to self, take self out of the way, take self off the throne of your life and try to live some kind of life, some kind of lifestyle before God, you know, be, you know, count it worthy to escape. You know, this is what he says, pray always, be counted worthy to escape the things that are coming. You know, these things are going to happen. The Bible is the word of God. God is not a man that he's going to lie, you know, that he's lost. I mean, that. So what is going to help us? The only thing that's going to help us is the thing that he's already prepared for us. We just simply got to receive it. We just simply got to deal with this flesh, this pride that we have. You know, we got to deal with this pride. This flesh will mess you up, you know, having you do what you want to do. You know, this flesh is a terrible thing. This flesh is something. You know, it wars against your spirit. It'll never accept God's will for your life. You know, it wants, like anything else, you know, it's captivated by the things of this world. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know, it'll never accept God's will for your life. We are living in dangerous times, sisters and brothers. You know, perilous times. It's almost, you know, when I think about it, it's almost unimaginable things that are coming to pass, that will come to pass. You know, things are not going to get any better. Things are not going to get any better. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up out of sleep. High time. But now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The time is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, you know. But let us put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk in righteousness, holiness, walk in the word. People, I just can't imagine. You know, I just can't imagine. You know, we got all kinds of warning. We got all kinds of grace and mercy pleading on our behalf so that we could make it in. Grace and mercy so that we can make it in. But some would rather have it their way. The Antichrist waiting to deceive, you know, waiting to deceive. Just think about it. In order to buy and trade, buy and sell, you must take the mark of the beast. In order to be a part of this one world order, be a part of this system, you must have the mark of the beast, to bow down to the image of the beast. You know, when the church is raptured, the man of sin is revealed. The one world order is in place. It's already in place. You know, the church is what hinders it, or what hinders it from being revealed is the church. When the church is raptured, then he who now will let it be taken out of the way, and then the man of sin will be revealed. Pray always. Pray always. Pray always. That's the only way you're going to make it. That's what it took prayer for Jesus to make it. Now, if the master had to pray, if Jesus had to pray, now what do you think it's going to take for us to make it? It's going to take prayer. Yeah, it's going to take prayer and lots of it. It's going to take a lot of prayer for us to make it. So please don't think that you're going to make it without prayer. And if prayer invites God into our circumstances, into our situation. You know, prayer is what brings God into our problems and our circumstances. And he enables us. He helps us. He fixes it. He makes a way. He turns things around. He fixes it. He fixes your mind and your heart. He fixes us up and get us ready. So we thank God for prayer. And we thank God who hears and answers prayer. The middle of the week, chaos, the very elect being deceived, you know, cause signs and wonders. You know, sometimes people look for signs and wonders. The one world order, one world banking system, the one world currency, head up by the EEC, the European Economic Community, Ten-Toe Kingdom, you know, one world banking, one world government, head up by the United Nations, and the one world religion, head up by the Roman Catholic Church, Church Universal, Universalism. We are in critical times. And again, there's nothing according to prophecy that has not been fulfilled. There's no reason why Jesus can come back. And if he comes back right this moment, church, will you be ready when he comes? Or will you have to go through this time of Jacob's struggle, 7 years of tribulation? Are you prepared for this? Are you prepared for this tribulation? For as many, John saw a number that no man could number that came out of the great tribulation. We know the 144,000 after the middle of the week, they come up, they're sealed in their forehead. 144,000, 12 from each of the tribes of Israel, they come up. And then we see the number that John could not number. You know, coming up out of the great tribulation, that had their gowns washed in the blood of the Lamb, wearing white robes. Amen. A number that no man could number. God is a merciful God. He's kind. He's compassionate. But there's a point You know, we are accounted. We are accountable to God, and we're accountable for the things that we do here, choices that we make. The truth will make man free. You know, we got to have a love for the truth. You know, the truth will make us free. And the love of the truth, having a love for truth, will set us apart. You know, the things that we love, the things that we care about, the things that are important to us. You know, these are the things that help us, to strengthen us. You know, where your heart is, sisters and brothers, where your heart is, Jesus says your treasures are there also. So let us not be fooled by some imaginary thought in our mind. Let us not be fooled. Let us not be taken away. You know, the wise man's eyes is in his head. So let's see as we ought to see concerning the mysteries of God's word. You know, let's see as we ought to see. Let us know as we ought to know. Amen. We're going to stop here. We just thank God for the word. We thank God for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Dangerous times, perilous times that we're living in. Just take a look at it. You know, what happened on the nation capital just a few days ago. Keep your eyes open. Keep signs and wonders, signs of the time that we're living in. You know, keep your eyes open. The hearts of man have failed them. You know, the hearts, they just don't, it's not in the heart. You know, it's not a mystery. It's not in the heart. And if it's not in the heart, then it's not important. You know. So we got to keep our eyes open. Watch and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape. You know, watch again and pray always. These are the two prerequisites that you watch and pray always. We want to thank God for another worship experience. We thank God for the word. We're going to pick it up here again next week. We're still talking about the end time. You know, we're still talking about the end time. This is where we are. This is what God would have us to minister. This is what he would have us to say to his people. So we thank God for the end time. And we thank God that he didn't leave us, you know, he didn't leave us ignorant concerning the truth of God. He left his word here on record that we can hear and understand what the Lord has to say to us. And those that are us that are wise will take it to heart. We don't just take things for granted. Amen. We bless the Lord. We bless the Lord for you. And we bless the Lord for this worship experience on today. We bless God. We bless him for all things. We give him praise. Amen. There might be some questions. If there are anybody here who may want to have any questions about anything that we're talking about, again, this is an end time. We're talking eschatology. You know, this is what we're talking on. You know, this is what we're ministering on today. And this is what God would have us to say. Is there any questions about the end time? Well, if there be no questions, we're going to go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for our lesson on today. We thank you for making it known, for making the truth known unto us, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're opening up the mystery and making it known, making it understandable so that we can understand what is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning the world, concerning the the situation and the life where we are in this time and in this place in this world today. Father, we are grateful that you've made it known to us. You know, you've opened up the secrets, the hidden things, and you're making it known to us. And we are grateful for this. You know, we thank God for your compassion. We thank God that you would not have us to be ignorant concerning these things. You bless us with openness and understanding. You've given us the teacher, the Holy Spirit, the very spirit of truth. You've allowed us the leader to the understanding and open up our understanding and our knowledge concerning the word and concerning the mysteries of this end times. Lord God, we just bless you for being God. We bless you for the knowledge. We bless you for the understanding. Now, God, we just ask, Lord God, that you continue to open up the hearts of men, that you would minister to the hearts of men at this day and this time, that you would heal the wounds and the wounded places, that you would allow the seed of the word to be birthed in the heart, that you would strengthen and protect that which, God, you've allowed us to know. God, we bless you now for being God. You know what we stand in need of. You know how to fix us, God. You know how to make it known. You know how to bring us from one place to the other. Help us, God. You are our only help, and we call on your name. Help us, Lord. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, and lead us and guide us and teach us and help us to make it in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we call on your name. We plead your precious blood. Give us the thy spirit, Lord God, afresh and anew. Heal the wounds, heal the broken places of life, of our lives, and the life of men everywhere. Father, we just ask you to continue to call. Continue to speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for speaking a word and blessing us as you have always blessed us. These and all blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Thank God, and amen.
Love your brother. Love your mother. Love your brother.
Love your God.